vendor information, and weekly product availability. Visit RichlandAreaFarmersMarket.org. Fresh food, friendly faces, local flavor. The Richland Area Farmers Market, every Wednesday in Richland Center.
At WCCU Credit Union, we are extending our rate discount. Now through July 31st, if you have or open a WCCU checking account and set up automatic payments, WCCU will reduce your interest rate by 1% on your next new or used vehicle loan. This offer includes recreational vehicles too, including UTVs, campers, and boats. With WCCU, not only will you save time and money, but you'll also enjoy the benefits of having a checking account with local people you know and trust. For more details, contact any of our WCCU offices or apply online at wccu.coop. Offer good through July 31st, 2026. Loan approval and rate discount subject to credit qualifications. WCCU is federally insured by NCUA.
Helping you build.
The Richland Center City Council and Utility Commission will convene for a joint session Wednesday, July 15th, to address a critical proposal regarding the WPPI Energy member contract. The session, scheduled for 5:30 p.m. in the Municipal Building Council Room, will feature a presentation by WPPI CEO and President Mike Peters on a proposed 18-year extension to the current membership agreement. This contract extension is intended to preserve long-term utility success by securing the wholesale power arrangements necessary to provide reliable and cost-effective electric service. Current WPPI agreements are set to expire in 2055, a date which officials note does not allow for the 30-year window typically required to finance long-term energy projects and transmission investments, such as those involving American Transmission Company. An 18-year extension would provide the stability needed for future resource planning and infrastructure financing, ensuring that member communities maintain their competitive edge in energy rates. Local officials are tasked with reviewing this proposal as part of a broader timeline that targets December 31, 2026, for the completion of local approvals, with a final deadline of February 26, 2027. Should a member choose not to extend, the existing agreement will remain in effect until 2055, after which the member would lose access to WPPI's power supply and associated services. This morning, I spoke with Ann Chapman, Research Director for the Wisconsin Association of School Business Officials, regarding the February 2026 lawsuit, Wisconsin PTA et al. Versus Wisconsin Assembly, filed in Eau Claire County Circuit Court, which challenges the constitutionality of Wisconsin's K-12 school finance system. The plaintiffs, including the Wisconsin PTA, several school districts, and education advocates, argue that the state is failing its constitutional mandate to provide free public schools with a uniform character of instruction. They assert that every student holds a fundamental right to an equal opportunity for a sound basic education, a right they claim is currently violated due to an inadequate funding model. The challenge is driven by several systemic issues. State aid as a percentage of expenditures has declined, while inflation-adjusted per-pupil spending has stagnated. The original 1990s finance policy, which balanced spending limits, property tax control, and revenue increases, has effectively collapsed, leaving districts with rigid revenue limits that do not keep pace with economic realities. Furthermore, while overall student enrollment is declining, there's a growing population of students with higher needs, including those with disabilities or from economically disadvantaged backgrounds. Because state reimbursement for mandated services is minimal, districts are forced to divert funds from general education. This fiscal pressure creates deep inequities, as districts are increasingly forced to rely on local operating referendums. Property-wealthy areas succeed while others face budget cuts, program eliminations, or even potential dissolution. Ultimately, the lawsuit does not ask the court to immediately redistribute funds or rewrite specific statutes. Instead, it seeks a declaration that the current finance system is constitutionally inadequate and requests that the court compel the legislature to design a new, sustainable framework. By framing this as a last resort after decades of legislative inaction, the plaintiffs hope to shift the focus from advocacy to a court-ordered reform process, ensuring that the state finally meets its constitutional obligations to all students. Read Ann Chapman's comprehensive article at WASBO, that is WASBO.com. The community is invited to the 23rd annual Walk with Grace, which will be held Friday, August 14th. A highlight of the event, the Luminary Ceremony, is scheduled for 9 p.m. Luminary bags can be picked up at several local businesses, including the All-American Do-It Center, the Boscobel Chamber of Commerce, Richland County Bank, various branches of Royal Bank and the People's Community Bank, Walsh's Ace Hardware, You Are Enough in Avoca, Zip Stop in Viola, or the Grace Office on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. To participate, please return your decorated bags along with the completed form and a $5 donation per name to the Grace Office or your team captain by Wednesday, August 12th. Meeting this deadline ensures your names are included in the event video and read aloud during the walk. Bags brought to the park on the day of the event will be displayed on the track only. Please submit your donation and bag together. If you would like to keep your bag, write SAVE on the bottom, along with your name and phone number. Saved bags can be picked up at the Grace Office or at the annual meeting October 15th. For any questions, please call or text Linda Kleppe at 608-604-3223 or Chris Powell at 608-963-1478. In Richland Center, Cole Muth is facing significant health challenges. In response, an informational meeting will be held at the Center Cinema at 2 p.m. Thursday, July 16th, to discuss future fundraising efforts to support Cole and his family. Again, that meeting will be at the Center Cinema, 2 p.m. Thursday, July 16th. Pelletary Waste Systems Incorporated, a leading independent, family-owned and operated waste and recycling service provider, has been honored in a press release issued today as the 2025 Family Business of the Year by In Business Madison magazine. The prestigious award recognizes the company's longstanding commitment to excellence and its significant impact on the communities it serves. Judges for the award selected Pelletary from a field of 14 finalists, citing the company's timeless set of values and customer-tailored solutions as primary factors in the decision. Additionally, the firm's impressive growth served as a key selling point. Pelletary currently serves 46 communities, manages over 85,000 households, and handles thousands of commercial accounts. Accepting the award at the Monona Terrace, company president David Pelletary express gratitude for the collective effort of his team. We want to thank our customers and vendors for this award, but ultimately we want to thank our employees. We have a great team of employees striving to grow this company and serve our customers, he said. Vice President Danielle Pelletary added that success for the family business is defined by making a real positive impact on the people and communities they serve every day. The company's history of service dates back more than 85 years to when Tom Pelletary's father, Tony, used a borrowed truck to haul waste on Madison's Capitol Square. Formerly founded in 1979 by Tom and Michelle Pelletary, the business remains family operated today, with the couple running operations alongside their three children. This recent accolade joins several other environmental honors the company has received, including the Recycling Excellence Award from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Gasoline prices in Wisconsin have seen an upward trend, with the state average rising 11.4 cents per gallon over the past week to reach $3.66 per gallon. Despite this weekly increase, prices remain 19.5 cents lower than they were a month ago, though they are notably 67.3 cents higher than this time last year. Diesel fuel has also experienced an increase, climbing 9.6 cents over the last week to an average of $4.85 per gallon. Significant variance exists within the state's pricing, as evidenced by recent Gas Buddy reports showing a difference of $1.70 per gallon between the cheapest station in Wisconsin at $3.29 and the most expensive at $4.99. On a national level, gasoline prices are also trending upward, increasing 10.3 cents per gallon in the last week to average $3.82 per gallon, while the national average is down 21.2 cents from a month ago. It currently sits 71 cents higher than the average price from 1 year ago. According to the Tax Foundation, a nonpartisan tax policy nonprofit, Wisconsin's tax landscape for 2026 reflects a system that maintains competitive structures in specific areas while facing challenges that place it in the middle of the pack nationwide. Wisconsin ranks 21st overall on the 2026 State Tax Competitiveness Index. This ranking is bolstered by a heavy reliance on property taxes, which account for 30.6% of state and local revenue, followed by individual income taxes and general sales taxes. Per capita, the state collects $6,030 in taxes and carries $9,371 in debt. Wisconsin has a 106% funded ratio for pensions, which means the state has $1.06 in assets for every dollar of promised future pension benefits. This indicates the pension plan is fully funded with a surplus, meaning there is more than enough money on hand to pay out all current and future retiree benefits. Regionally, Wisconsin's competitive standing varies compared to neighboring states. The state ranks 21st, positioning it behind Michigan, which ranks 16th, and Iowa at 17th. These rankings demonstrate that while Wisconsin maintains a mid-tier position, it outperforms neighbors such as Illinois, which ranks 38th, and Minnesota, which holds the 44th position on the competitiveness index. Agrace offers dementia care consultations, recently recognized in the 2026 Best of the Best Awards by Shopping News for its hospice care services. Agrace also provides palliative care, grief support, and dementia support. Agrace's dementia care consultations can help answer questions about care, decisions, and costs, and bring clarity to families navigating this challenging time. Agrace is also seeking volunteers. Volunteers are needed to make companionship visits to local hospice patients in patients' homes, nursing homes, or assisted living centers. Volunteering may involve reading aloud, listening to music together, playing cards, or simply being a caring presence. No previous healthcare experience is necessary. Schedules are flexible and free online training is provided. Anyone interested in volunteering should contact Agrace at 608-327-7163 or visit Agrace, that's agrace.org/volunteer. The Agricultural Roads Improvement Program has emerged as a cornerstone of support for Wisconsin's rural infrastructure and its vital agricultural economy. Authored by Senator Howard Markline and Representative Travis Tranel, the program specifically targets the first-mile roads that connect producers to major highways. These rural routes are essential for local commerce, but are frequently overlooked by traditional funding models due to low traffic volumes. By providing significant state assistance, ARIP, as it is known, enables small townships and counties with limited budgets to finally address critical infrastructure needs that have been deferred for years. The tangible impact of this initiative is already being felt across the state, highlighted by the recent award of nearly $4 million for reconstruction projects such as Ladwig Road and County Road FF. In the 17th Senate District alone, 9 projects have been funded, with the state covering up to 90% of the costs. This strategic investment allows farmers to transport their products more efficiently and safely while reducing the financial burden on local taxpayers. As local officials and agricultural leaders provide overwhelmingly positive feedback, ARIP stands as a clear success, ensuring that the roads serving Wisconsin's farmers are as resilient as the industry they support. In July, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources celebrates Disability Pride Month, coinciding with the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. This month highlights the DNR's ongoing commitment to providing exceptional outdoor recreation opportunities for visitors of all abilities through universal recreation options on Wisconsin's public lands. Public lands across the state offer accessible infrastructure designed to improve the outdoor experience for everyone. Key features include beach access mats for stable movement on sand and universal kayak launches that facilitate smoother water transitions. In addition to infrastructure, the Wisconsin State Park System provides specialized equipment for rent or loan, such as all-terrain wheelchairs, beach wheelchairs, and adaptive kayaks. Many nature centers also offer sensory bags and communication boards to ensure a welcoming environment for all visitors. The annual flag retirement ceremony, sponsored by Chapter 7 Vietnam Veterans, will not take place July 15th and is rescheduled to Wednesday, August 19th at 5 p.m. due to extensive bridge repair near 32742 Cold Spring Drive in Lone Rock. The rescheduled date was decided in the interest of safety for the motoring public. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has officially confirmed the state's first West Nile virus activity of the year, following positive tests from mosquitoes in Milwaukee County and a wild bird in Bayfield County. While no human cases have been reported yet in 2026, these findings indicate that the virus is actively circulating among local mosquito populations and poses a potential risk for transmission to humans and animals. State health officials emphasize that monitoring these early signs is critical for providing timely safety information to communities, as the peak season for infection typically occurs in August and September. West Nile virus is primarily spread through the bite of an infected mosquito that has fed on infected birds. It is not transmitted directly between people or from animals to humans. Although many who contract the virus exhibit no symptoms, others may experience fever, aches, and fatigue. In more severe cases, particularly among older adults or those with weakened immune systems, the virus can lead to serious neurological complications such as paralysis or coma. Residents are urged to consult health care providers if they suspect they are falling ill after mosquito exposure. To mitigate the risk of illness, the public is encouraged to take proactive measures to fight the bite until the first hard frost of the season. Effective protection includes applying insect repellents containing DEET or picaridin, wearing long sleeves and pants during outdoor activities, and avoiding the outdoors during dawn and dusk when mosquitoes are most active. Additionally, property owners should eliminate stagnant water where mosquitoes breed, such as in gutters, bird baths, and unused containers, to help mosquito-proof their homes and protect their families. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has announced that federal disaster unemployment assistance is now available for workers and self-employed individuals in several counties following severe storms, tornadoes, and flooding that occurred between April 13th and April 23rd. The DUA program serves as a critical safety net by providing temporary income support to those who have lost work as a direct result of this major disaster, but do not qualify for regular unemployment insurance benefits. This includes self-employed individuals who may not typically be covered by standard programs. It is important to note that all applicants must first apply for regular unemployment insurance before they can be considered for DUA benefits, as the program is designed to support those ineligible for standard unemployment insurance. Eligible workers must submit their applications by the deadline of August 31st. Applications can be filed online through the official portal at my.unemployment.wisconsin.gov. For those who require assistance with the online process or are unable to access the website, the DUA hotline is available at 608-318-7100 during regular business hours to provide support and guidance throughout the application process. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is leading a coalition of 15 states in a new legal battle against the U.S. Department of Education to protect critical school-based mental health grants. The administration plans to terminate these grants by the end of July, a move the coalition argues is an attempt to bypass a previous court order. If successful, this termination would cost the University of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction approximately $12.5 million, severely impacting schools' ability to address the ongoing youth mental health crisis. Wisconsin Attorney General Call criticized the administration's actions, stating, "Cutting these mental health grants would be seriously misguided. The Trump administration's insistence on putting ideology ahead of kids' mental health is really outrageous." This conflict stems from a longer legal struggle in June 2025. Wisconsin and partner states sued the federal department over the initial discontinuation of these grants. By December 2025, the coalition had secured a court order declaring the department's actions unlawful and establishing a permanent injunction against the discontinuations. Despite this, the department has continued to obstruct funding, providing only 6 months of financial support at a time and creating uncertainty for educators and service providers. While the department claims the new move is a termination rather than a discontinuation, the coalition views this as a transparent effort to circumvent the court's mandate. The new lawsuit alleges that the plan violates both the Administrative Procedure Act and the U.S. Constitution, with the coalition seeking an immediate preliminary injunction to halt the terminations and ensure continued support for students. The USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service reports Wisconsin farmers made significant progress during the week ending July 12th as 5.9 days were suitable for field work across the state. Predominantly dry conditions facilitated the second cutting of alfalfa hay and allowed producers to move forward with essential fertilizer and herbicide applications. Crop conditions remain robust with corn, soybeans, oats, winter wheat, and hay, all maintaining high ratings in the good to excellent categories. Specifically, corn is starting to silk and soybeans are progressing rapidly with 42% blooming, which is ahead of the five-year average of 38%. Additionally, the winter wheat harvest is officially underway with 5% of the crop already harvested as it reaches 89% coloring. Overall, the agricultural outlook for Wisconsin remains positive as most crops continue to develop steadily under favorable weather conditions. A new report shows Wisconsin prisons are holding more drunk drivers than ever before. The Wisconsin Policy Forum reports the number of people incarcerated for operating while intoxicated has more than quadrupled since 2000. Nearly 2,900 people were in state prisons for OWI convictions in 2024, a record high before dipping slightly last year. The report says the increase comes despite a sharp decline in OWI arrests. Wisconsin recorded more than 36,000 OWI arrests in 2002 compared to fewer than 19,000 in 2025. Overall arrests by law enforcement statewide have dropped more than 60% over the last two decades.